The reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God, who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. I thought maybe a good background would have been if we had had, instead of just the you know, kind of white background here, if we had done the got milk ad, because the passage today is talking about that spiritual milk that we receive. But then it's really urging us to go on from that, so maybe it should say got meat instead. How would that be for an ad? There's a new beef ad for you. Got beef? You know, like the old Where's the Beef commercial from Wendy's. You know, we're told that Paul notes to the Corinthians, when I was with you before, you know, you got spiritual milk because you weren't ready for the solid food. And now he notes, with a little bit of disgust, it seems, and obviously you're still not ready. They haven't gotten to where they need to be. When Paul was with the people of Corinth before, they were the young Christians, new Christian church, and they needed that spiritual milk. They weren't ready for the heavy doctrines of faith. They weren't ready to understand all that is behind understanding something like the body and blood of Christ and the church as a whole in heaven and on earth and all the saints before us, saints that are coming still. It was enough for them to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, which was also a chief way he said of his teaching. This is enough to know Christ and Him crucified. But they needed to move on from that. They weren't ready then, but they should be ready now. And yet they weren't. I mean, infants live on milk. For the first months of life, that's what an infant gets, right? Milk for breakfast, milk for lunch, milk for dinner. Actually, I get the same, but it comes from a cow now and it keeps in a jug. Which reminds me, I need to stop on the way home and get some milk. There we go. See, I'm making my grocery list during the sermons just like you do. They don't just have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They have it all points in between, these infants. I mean, during the middle of the night, let's have a midnight snack. There's time for more milk. And that's because they can't handle. Their digestive systems are not ready for solid food. They don't have teeth. They're not ready yet. In 1 Peter, we hear the words, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that they may grow up in the ways of salvation. Now that they have tasted the goodness of the Lord, it's a good thing to have that spiritual milk. It helps us to grow. But that's what the idea is of having that, is to now grow, to become something beyond what we have been, to change, to become more. We all have a starting point in life. We come to the church. We come to the faith. We learn the stories of the Bible. And those are great. Remember, most of you are old enough, remember the old flannel boards, the felt boards? It's just a big fold-out piece of cardboard with felt on it, and then you take these flannel cutouts of a shepherd or a woman or a sheep, and they just slap them on the board wherever they want it. And that's our illustration. Boy, we've come a long way since then, haven't we? I even remember the old projectors things where you'd have a record that they would play. And for those of you who are not aware, records are what we had before you had music online and everything. You know, had to actually physically put something on a machine and turn it. But these were cooler records than that because they were those floppy records. Remember those? You could actually roll the record up and put them in tubes and things like that. But you put this record on, and it would spin, it would tell you the story, and they would either move the flannel things, or we got to the next step where you actually got slides. And there was this little film projector that had all these little individual things, and when the record would go beep, you would go click, and you'd get a new picture. Wow, that was high tech. I mean, this was good stuff. I mean, get rid of the flannel boards. I'm sold. Click. I still have one of those old pieces of film. I don't have any way to play it, but I have one of the pieces of film still has the pictures. We learn the basics. You know the basics. We're fed on the basics. We're ready to go on from the flannel boards and from the film projector. Maybe we get to confirmation and start working in the catechism, and you learn the six chief parts of the catechism. Maybe you did have to memorize a lot of stuff there, and you learn a lot. And then comes this problem. Because for so many Christians, that's where they stop, if they even make it to confirmation. But so many disappear after confirmation. And it's kind of like, it works like the old joke, how do you get rid of bats in the bell tower? Baptize them, confirm them, and you won't see them again for years. Sad joke, but true. What happens when we get to that point in our life is we're making a choice. Either we're saying that we've learned all we really need to know, or at least we think we've learned all we need to know, or we might get to that point where we actually crave a little bit more. We want to know more. We're in this pattern of understanding that we don't have all the answers and we don't know it all. We want that deeper relationship still with God. And that goes on until... Well, really, it should go on until we take our last breath, because who understands all the ways of God and who understands all the words of Scripture? There's room for growth for all of us. Lest we be like the title of that old book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Yeah, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Fourth Grade Sunday School or in confirmation classes. It's not all we really need to know. We're still on the milk at that point, really. We need to get on to the rest of the things, the feast of God. Paul writes to the Corinthians, you are still worldly. For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worthy because you are worldly. You're not worthy for the rest of the stuff because you're not ready for it. Are you not acting like mere humans? Well, now, wait a minute, Paul. What do you expect us to act like? We're humans, and that's the fact that we deal with. We will never be fully there in consuming all of the diet that God would choose for us to have, and we're not going to be holy. He says, be holy as I am holy in the Scriptures too. We can't get there because we are human. We are full of sin. We fall short, but there is room for growth is the point. And we need to continue to grow and to move on from where we are. We're going to fall back every now and then. We're going to get to that point where we're just like all the rest of the world, and we're going to sin. We're going to turn away from what God wants us to do, think something other than what God wants us to think, be something other than what God wants us to be. We sin. And doesn't matter the sin, sin is sin. The sin of those that are outside of the physical church. They may be Christians, but they don't go to church. They're out there, and we think, well, at least we're one up on them because we're going to church. Well, we're not really one up on them either, because the wages of sin is death. It's the same for all. And if you break one part of the law, you break all the law. So we're all sinners. But we have that great equalizer in the death and resurrection of Jesus. We're also all forgiven and all made saints. But we still end up back on that spiritual milk once in a while because we've fallen away from what God wants us to do and to grow in that faith. We act like babies. It's kind of what he's calling them. He says, you're a bunch of babies still because you haven't grown from where you should have been by now. In Hebrews, chapter 5, it says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." We fall back on that spiritual milk. We turn away from the ways of God, and that's what Paul is saying in this text, the same thing the author said in Hebrews, that you know, we haven't become all that God says that we can become and all that He wants us to be. I mean, we're on the way, but we're not there yet. I think of it like, you know, there are those folks that I make two types of barbecue sauce when I make my smoked brisket. I have, as they would label it over at Rudy's, they have the sissy sauce. That's the stuff with just the black pepper in it. It's got just the tiniest little bite to it, very little. Actually, I don't notice it at all because my taste buds are already way past that. And then there's the good stuff. And it's got the chipotle in it and maybe some other things that I can't tell you because those are proprietary. And it's got this is the real sauce. This is the good stuff. This has got a little kick to it. Some folks aren't ready for this. So here, have the black pepper sauce. You'll be fine. It's good. Comes a time you might want to move on to this because this is really good though. But some folks aren't ready there. They're not there. We're not ready to go in whole hog on barbecue metaphor there. Not intentional. We're not ready to Gentile metaphor at that, eating the hogs. We can go there to the meat. We're stuck in the milk. And God says, this is so good over here. You need to come over here. But the jealousy, the strife, the pride, the self-assertion of life has kept us from having it. Our self-confidence, our self-exaltation, our self-determination, our selfishness has kept us focused on self instead of on God. And we end up thinking we know all we need to know, or we understand all we need to understand, or who's going to teach us more than what we already have, because we already are the learned ones ourselves. And as the author to Hebrews said, you know, for those folks, they should be teachers by now. Well, Paul's not taking it that far with the Corinthians, but he is saying by now you should have moved on from the basics of the Christian faith. But you're still not ready for it, because you're still falling back on these petty human things that are keeping you from growth in the Word. And then it goes on to in a sense, even lay it down to, it's not about us, it's about those that have taught us. Some of you say, I follow Paul. Some say Apollos. But aren't those mere human beings, he notes. And we tend to do that. Well, what I learned from Pastor such and such, well, what Pastor, you know, this pastor that I grew up with, I mean, which pastor is the one that teaches you? The pastor that you grow up with, the pastor that marries you, the pastor that confirms your children, the pastor at a later stage in life? Which one are you learning from? Hopefully all of them. Because the Spirit is the one that's actually doing the work, not the individual pastors. They're mere human beings, just like everyone else. They need to grow too. I need to grow just as you need to grow. And we don't fall back on what somebody else has taught us and say that, well, this is what we learned. We need to continue to learn, to grow in our faith. Paul makes it clear that it's not about those that were ministers in our life either. It's about where we are. And the credit doesn't fall to them. The credit falls to God, because it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. If we grow more, then God gets the credit. And we are called to grow more. So here's the thing, too. If what you've been doing up to this point has not brought you to that next level of spirituality, then maybe we need to change something. Maybe something needs to be a little bit different. Spiritual maturity calls for growth in our faith. And if everything we're doing has kept us where we are, then we need something to get us to the next point. And it can be a lot of things. The word gives us lots of ideas. And then the word as a whole gives us even more in how we live out these ideas. But we can grow more through hearing the word of God more faithfully and regularly. Do we confess our sins as we should? Regularly. Daily. Are we using the term that usually is used in evangelical churches outside of... We actually are an evangelical church, although we try and keep that a secret, apparently. We are the Evangelical Lutheran Church. That's evangelisch. As in our German charters, originally the way we were set up, the LCMS is the Evangelical Lutheran Church. And that's what we still say, as opposed to Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But we don't act like those evangelists. Apparently we kind of keep that part quiet. But God says that this is what I would call you to do if you're going to take that name on. And so we are to get out there and evangelize. And in doing so, here's a term, surrender to Christ. We don't typically use that one in the Lutheran church either. Surrender to Christ, because it kind of sounds like we're just going over and not going to do anything on our own. And being from a good German Lutheran background in this church, whether we're Germans or not, we know that we have a lot we are supposed to do. Well, yeah, we do. And that doesn't change. We do have a lot to do. But what we do is in response for what God has done, not so that we will get from God more. We've already gotten everything we need from the Lord. So we need to surrender to Him more of ourselves, trust more in Him, and lean not on our understanding. Kind of like use the football metaphor in a sense. When you're not making any ground, the only option is to punt and give the ball to those that are going to move it. Well, we punt and give the ball back to God. We turn it over and say, Lord, okay, you're the one that's going to make some headway here, apparently. And He does. And that's where the football metaphor doesn't play out. You know, this is a good thing. When He advances, when He comes forward, God is there for us to help us, if we will trust in Him. Will you lay your sins at the cross and leave them at the cross? Will you surrender to Christ and say, I need more of you in my life and a little bit less of me in my life? Will you be in daily prayer? Will you be in daily reading of God's Word? Will you trust God by the Holy Spirit with the little details of your life? Not just the big decisions and big things, but give Him everything, because everything that you are concerned about, big or small, God is concerned about, because He's concerned about you. He may not have the same outcome in mind as we do always, but He's there for us. In large and small ways, God is there in all things. And then will you surround yourself with people of God? And beyond Sunday morning, I'm saying. Are we going to surround ourselves with other believers? Are we going to grow in hearing the Word? Are we going to confess our sins? Are we going to surrender to Christ? Are we going to do the daily prayer, the daily reading of Scripture so that we know Him better? Are we going to witness about Him? Are we going to be a people that surround ourselves with other Christians? And then throw one more thing in there. And then are we going to be in communion? Not just the communion here. This is a good one. This is a very important one. This is our sacrament. But this is a communion with God and with others in the church. Are we going to be in communion with others in the faith in the world? Because it's a relationship thing. That's what God is about. That's all that Jesus was about. That death and resurrection was about a relationship. It was to restore a right relationship for us with the Father. And He wants us to have a right relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ and with the rest of the world. Are we going to seek to live in that right communion with the world around us? We all have room to grow. We all have room to mature in our Christian faith. And lest we stagnate, lest we fall into that idea that we already know all we need to know, and we have nothing else that we need to worry about, let me remind you, you're alive. Because if God was done with you, then what would you be doing here? He'd have called you home. But we're alive, and where there's life, there's not just hope, there's learning to be done. God is growing us. God is the one that's doing that. It says, God makes all things grow. We respond. And if that's what God wants for us, then we have to look at ourselves and think, maybe, isn't it time that we grow up a little bit more? For Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.